From the ballroom of the Washington Hotel in Washington, D.C., we bring you an address by Mr. Herbert Agar, editor of the Courier-Journal of Louisville, who speaks before a meeting of the Fight for Freedom Committee. Mr. Agar's subject is American Democracy at Work.
Fellow delegates to our convention, you all have come here from all the states of this nation in order to see to it, if possible, that we, the American citizens, express our opinions, do our job in the world today. We are trying to prove that democracy does work. I think it has been proved for a long time that democracy works in the sense that certain people will get their way in the world of a democratic nation. Democracy can work for the worst, and it can work for the best. And it depends entirely upon us which happens. There's an old saying, the people's servants serve them right. And that is a saying which I believe we in America should take to heart today. We are going to have the kind of foreign policy, and we're going to have the kind of domestic policy that we, the American citizens, work to create. If our enemies who want a bad foreign policy which will destroy our civilization and a bad domestic policy which will set man against man, if our enemies wanting that work harder than we work, they will get their way, and they not only will get their way, but they will deserve to get their way. If the American people today can be persuaded of what is happening in the world, if the true story can be taken to our people of the tragic events of today, there is no question whatsoever about what the American people will decide. We today, as we in the past, will decide to do our duty no matter how hard it is, how difficult it is. But if we do not take the trouble, if those of us who know the true story do not take the trouble to get that story to our fellow citizens, the American people won't have any more chance than the French people had. The deluded French people who were lied to all day long by their politicians and who suddenly woke up to find that they were dead. Their nation was dead, their hopes were dead, their children's hopes were dead. It is entirely up to us who believe that we know the true story of world history today to get that story to the American people. And this Continental Congress, met from all over America, can do that work if it sees the exigency of the job that is on hand. What is the story that we have to take to our fellow citizens? It is the story of the meaning of modern history. It is the story of what is this war about. We have a beautifully financed organization working hard, I'm referring to America First, telling the American people today that what is happening in the world is just another chapter of the same old war. That is a complete misreading of history. The American people are being deluded and bemused and prevented from taking their place in world history because our enemies are doing such a good job at telling them such a bad lie. What is really happening today is this, that because of our own sins, because we have bred in our own hearts and the hearts of our fellow countrymen, in the hearts of the great majority of people all over the Western world, a feeling of cynicism, hopelessness, and despair. Because of that, there is working today in the world a deliberate attempt to kill the civilization of our Western world, the civilization which for 2,000 years has been trying to build itself to a point where it could create institutions and a way of life which would give man a chance to live well in this world and to save his soul so that he may hope to live well in the next world. The war of today is nothing but the military phase of this attempt to kill our world. I remind you that in a nation like Denmark and that in South America today, the revolution has gone on with great success. In Denmark, it went to the point where the Danish nation just cashed in and handed over and didn't do anything about it and was taken over by an army of occupation. There was no war necessary in Denmark. In South America today, there are really serious subversive activities which may be preparing South America in the future to lie down quietly and accept this attempt to destroy our civilization. In the United States of America, there are also such things. They have not yet gone so far. I landed in the British Isles on the 2nd or 3rd of August from a bomber, and the thing that astonished me most about the British Isles today, having worked there for 7 years as a journalist, is that the British Isles today represent an international society. There has come together in the British Isles today all the people from all over the world who are still seriously trying to beat back this attempt to destroy our civilization. 60,000 Polish troops in Scotland, 3.5 divisions of free Frenchmen, 2.5 to 3 divisions of Czechs, an entire merchant marine manned by the Norwegians and the Dutchmen. All over the world, people have gone into the British Isles to see to it, if they possibly can, that this attempt to destroy our world does not succeed. I ask you to put that side by side with the story which is being told up and down our country by America First, that this is another chapter of the same old war. When, at what point in the same old war, did people all over the face of the earth fight their way at terrific personal sacrifice into any one place in the world in order that they should have the privilege of going on living or dying for the future of the human race? That didn't happen in the Franco-Prussian War, and it didn't happen in the Boer War, and it didn't happen in the American-Mexican War, and it didn't happen in the Spanish-American War, and it hasn't happened in any of the so-called same old chapters of the same old war. The war for land or money, the war to see who owns Alsace-Lorraine, or who owns the Suez Canal, or who owns the Cameroons in Africa, or who owns any other relatively unimportant piece of the Earth's surface. What is happening today is an attempt to kill our civilization. It is happening because our civilization has betrayed its promises, gone back on its word for too long a time. Let me tell you something about the Poles in the British Isles. The Poles, there are 60,000 Polish troops there. There are still more Poles manning a small part of the British Merchant Marine. And there are many gallant Poles in the RAF. The Poles have gone there knowing that their friends back home and their family back home will either be murdered or will be put in concentration camps or will be blackmailed into some awful indignity because somebody that they know or somebody to whom they are related has dared to go into the British Isles and fight. Why did the Poles go to the British Isles and fight? Having fought the Germans in their own country, having gone to France and fought the Germans again in France, why did they make the final and terrible sacrifice of going to the British Isles to fight the Germans a third time from the British Isles? They did it because they are the only people in the world today who know what this attempt to destroy our civilization really means in dramatic terms. They've seen it happening before their own eyes and in their own country. In Poland, all the leaders who can possibly be discovered are being killed. It is the assumption of the Germans that there are about 3 million people in Poland who are potential leaders for the future. On the best evidence we can get, about 1.5 million of those 3 million Poles have already been murdered. The other 1.5 million are being hunted like wild animals and will be murdered as soon as they can be found. In Poland today, every attempt is being made to erase the memory of the past of the Polish people. All the Polish books in Poland have been burned. All the Polish books in the Bibliothèque Nationale in Paris have been burned. All the Polish books in the National Library in Copenhagen have been burned. German soldiers have been going into private houses all over German-occupied Europe, trying to find Polish books so that they can burn them. The idea is that if you can remove the memory of the past from a great people, you will reduce those people to what they are supposed to be in Hitler's future in this new order. You will reduce them into the helpless supine slaves, people who have no past because they have a national aphasia, because the whole memory of their past has been destroyed, people who have no present because all their potential leaders have been murdered, and therefore people who have no future. The same story that this thing which is happening is not another chapter of the same old war, but a deliberate attempt to murder our civilization once and for all, is suggested by two other recent anecdotes from history that I want to remind you of. About 2 months ago, the Catholic bishops of Germany had issued a statement which leaked through the Hitler censorship for reasons which I do not know. In this Fulda statement, the Catholic bishops of Germany said this, that in the domestic policies of the Third Reich, the existence of Christianity is at stake. If those domestic policies are allowed to survive, the existence of Christianity is at stake. Christianity itself may be murdered. I submit to you that these are words which would not be used by any organization which takes a long view of history, which does not get easily excited, which does not talk in terms that a journalist or politician might talk in, but talks always in terms of the next century, in terms of the future of the human race. Those are words that cannot be used by such a responsible organization unless they refer to a deliberate attempt to kill our world. Another illustration of the same point. About 2 months ago, again, Wendell Willkie sent out 15,000 letters to American businessmen, begging them to read the book by the gentleman who spoke here last night, the book of Douglas Miller, You Can't Do Business with Hitler, begging them to read that book and, having read it, to get over once and for all their childlike idea that it is possible to make a negotiated peace with these enemies of the human race, begging them to realize that if you negotiate a peace with Hitler, you are killing dead the American economic and the American business system. Those, again, are words that cannot be used by a responsible man in an important position unless they are used to describe an attempt to kill our world and kill it dead, not an attempt to win Alsace-Lorraine, to take the Suez Canal, even to take the Panama Canal, but an attempt to kill our world dead. Wendell Willkie tells the American people that if you make a peace with the enemy of mankind, you destroy your economic and business system. The Catholic bishops of Germany, meeting in convocation, tell the world that if you allow this thing to go on, you kill the moral system on which this world is based. And in the person of the Poles and the Greeks and the Yugoslavs and the Frenchmen and the Czechoslovaks and all the other heroic people who have fought their way into the British Isles, you get the testimony by their own bodies and by their own blood that if you allow this thing to happen, you kill our world dead once and for all. We are not talking about another chapter of the same old war. We are talking about the future of the human race forever. And if we're talking about that, we are part of the human race, and we, the American people, have got to see to it that the human race has a future, and that means war. It means that we, the American people, should participate in this war at once. And if we participate in this war, we have given the human race back a hope for a future.
You have just heard an address on the subject, American Democracy at Work, delivered by Mr. Herbert Agar, editor of the Louisville Courier-Journal, before a meeting of the Fight for Freedom Committee in Washington, D.C. This is the National Broadcasting Company.